Hello listeners, and welcome to this week's episode of The Conspiracy Vault. I'm your speaker Casey, and the subject I have for you today is one that has been explored vigorously for many years by lots and lots of different people. But it is one of the most interesting cases for a good friend of mine, and I wanted to put this episode out into the universe just for her. Today's episode is on the mysterious death of Elisa Lam and various theories surrounding her disappearance, and ultimately, her demise. Elisa Lam, known otherwise by her Cantonese birth name, Lam Ho Yi, was born on April 30th, 1991, to immigrant parents from Hong Kong. Elisa's mother and father owned a restaurant in Burnaby, British Columbia, Canada, named Paul's. This is where Elisa grew up. She had a younger sister named Sarah, and Elisa was often described as lively and outgoing by friends and family. She was active on social medias, such as Facebook, Tumblr, and her own blog, Ether Fields, which she started in 2010 on Blogspot. 2 years later, in 2012, Elisa would transition over to Tumblr, where she named her blog Nouvelle Nouveau, of which the archived posts are still available. A quick scroll through her archived social media posts and Tumblr shows an interest in fashion, quirky quotes, rare words, and her favourite book, The Great Gatsby, written by F. Scott Fitzgerald. It is reported that Elisa enrolled into the University of British Columbia to study psychology, but often spoke on her blog of how difficult it was to manage both her mental health and her studies. For example, her blog post in May 2012 says, "Overslept so I missed another test. There goes 10% of my grade." And another, on June 2012, says, "On school, I'm fairly certain I'm kicked out and will not be able to return until I finish such many credits at a college. I've been too chicken to email and find out definitely if I'm no longer eligible. If I'm out, it also means I'm no longer covered by the student health plan, meaning I'll have to pay full price for my meds. Also, since I highly doubt I will be in full-time studies, my student loans will start repayments and accumulate interest. Thankfully, I appealed and got reinstated for eligibility, so future loans will be possible, thank God. I think I just shattered young me. What the shit? I get kicked out of university? Are you kidding me? How did that happen? Did you start partying? Get cancer? WTF? When I say that it looks as though Elisa was struggling with her studies and her mental health, she had been diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression. For these difficult mental health problems, she was prescribed four various medications: Wellbutrin, Lamictal, Seroquel, and Effexor. Although her parents withheld her illnesses from the public during Elisa's investigation, they were adamant that aside from a short period of time where Elisa went missing, she was happy and never expressed any suicidal ideation. With life pouring out into Elisa's blog, she decided that she would take a West Coast trip of America. An article on Medium.com reads, "On January the 13th, 2013, Elisa posted that she booked her flight to explore San Diego, Los Angeles, Santa Cruz, and San Francisco on what she called her West Coast tour. Elisa's family worried when their daughter told them she was taking an impromptu solo journey to California. She appeased their fears when she promised to call every single day and let them know that she was safe. She embarked on her trip on January 22nd, 2013. Her blog was updated at each stage, saying things like, "January 13th, planning for the West Coast tour. Sigh, turns out I won't be making as many stops as I'd like. Vancouver, San Diego, Los Angeles, Santa Cruz, and San Francisco. I really want to stop by San Luis, but alas, we'll see. Suggestions and meetups still highly appreciated." On January 22nd, she posted, "I'm too tired to pack." And then on January 23rd, she said, "I got lost in the airport and missed my connecting flight. Ugh, sleepover at the airport again. Oh well, it could be worse. United Airlines provides blankets. I have Wi-Fi and I can pretend I'm Tom Hanks in the terminal. Not at all similar, but surely if a fictional character in a movie can live in an airport, then so can I." The first leg of Elisa's tour went as planned. She came to San Diego where she lounged around and stuffed herself with $3 meals, according to her blog, and enjoyed the San Diego sights. Most of all, she made good on her promise to contact her family every day. Another blog update reads, "January 25th. Today I slept, took a long hot shower, stuffed myself silly with a $3 dinner. It has been most productive and enjoyable. I seriously have done nothing in San Diego that is out of my normal routine at home. I do what I want. After all, I like my home comforts, and every now and then I do something entirely impulsive and reckless, like tell a guy I just met that I like him. I do like watching people at the hostel. Now that I'm rested and well, starting tomorrow, I should adventure outside more. Number 1, SeaWorld. Number 2, the zoo. Number 3, museum because it's free. And number 4, whale watching. She then arrived on January 26th to the Stay on Main Hotel, formerly named the Cecil Hotel. This hotel is located in what some might describe as a bad part of town, 640 South Main Street, downtown Los Angeles. Upon checking into the hotel, Elisa was originally sharing a hostel-like shared space until other guests began complaining to the hotel staff about her strange behaviour. At this time, she was given her own private room. Elisa continued to share details of her journey on her blog, writing things such as, January 27th, I'm going out tonight. I really hope no creeper comes near me. Seriously though, those Italian and Mexican guys go after you strong, show the slightest inclination and they hound you. She continued later on saying, the speakeasy was awesome, except I lost a cell phone, sigh. And on January 29th, I wish I could put part of my brain into a taped shut box and shove it to the back of my closet for the night. Later, on January 29th, she said, my laptop screen is brighter than my future. And then later on again, she said, I have arrived in La La Land, and there is this monstrosity of a building next to the place I'm staying. And when I say monstrosity, mind you, I'm saying it as in gaudy. But then again, it was built in 1928, hence the Art Deco theme, so yes, it is classy, but then since it's LA, it went on crack. They should use this to film The Great Gatsby. This is another wink to her favourite book, as mentioned before in her previous blog posts. During this time, she also kept regular contact with her parents, until January 31st, the day Elisa was due to check out of the Cecil Hotel. Contact with her parents stopped, and so did Elisa's regular blog posting. Alarmed by the lack of correspondence from their daughter, Elisa's parents contacted the LAPD, who then dispatched officers to do a thorough sweep of the Stay on Main Hotel, without much luck. The investigation into Elisa's disappearance continued, with police releasing footage on February 14th, hoping it would further the investigation from tips coming from those who may have seen or recognised Elisa. The grainy footage is now legendary. It is available on YouTube to watch, and I will link this in the show notes. But it is the last known time Elisa was seen alive. The footage itself has sparked a torrent of discussions, theories, and questions. It shows Elisa on an elevator inside the hotel. Her dark hair is down at shoulder length. She is wearing a baggy red sweater with what looks like a black skirt and sandals, although some have speculated that she is wearing baggy boy shorts. So far, none of this is particularly odd. But what is strange is Elisa's behaviour. She enters the elevator, presses some buttons, sticks her head out around the elevator door, looking around as if she's expecting to see someone. Then she dives back into the elevator and hides in the corner, like she's trying to hide from somebody. She jumps out of the elevator as if she's trying to scare someone coming down the corridor. But then she re-enters and hides again in the corner by the buttons. She presses different buttons at different times. At one stage, she even presses all of the buttons. She makes strange gestures with her hands as if talking to somebody directly in front of her. But she is alone in this footage. This entire time, whether Elisa is inside the elevator or outside the elevator, the elevator doors remain open, despite Elisa returning to push various buttons. She makes weird circular hand motions that are really hard to describe. Elisa finally leaves the frame and the doors close after around 1 minute of remaining open. When the doors reopen, the elevator is on another floor and Elisa is no longer in sight. After this, she is never seen alive again. Many have speculated that because the hotel is so old, perhaps the elevator malfunctioned, that perhaps the doors were stuck open. Maybe pushing so many buttons at once had caused an issue with the elevator. Some also say that the footage has been edited. that frames are missing. Perhaps frames with other people in them. Perhaps edited by the hotel to hide something, or by police who decided to only include in the footage what they thought was relevant for the public. Some have also described Elise's behaviour as a product of her mental health, speculating that she could have been experiencing a bout of mania. Despite releasing the footage, which soon had millions of views worldwide, Elisa was still missing. Eerily, her blog, which had been quiet for a few days during her initial disappearance, was active again. Although these posts look like nothing more than scheduled posts, on February the 7th, 13th and 16th, posts about Harry Potter, famous quotes and rare word definitions are seen a number of times throughout Elisa's entire blog history. So nothing particularly untoward, but still rather strange, with her very last blog post ever being a picture of a light bulb hanging from a string with a small world inside of the glass bulb. And this would be the very last thing to ever appear on Elisa's online platform. After the release of the footage on February 14th, it would be February 19th when guests would start complaining. Several made comments about low water pressure, the bitter taste of the tap water, and that the water would be discoloured or black when first running the tap, and then eventually turning clear again, but still tasting strange. The next part of the story I found conflicting information. On this same day, February 19th, 2013, 18 days after Elisa's disappearance, hotel staff member Santiago Lopez accessed the roof to check the four tanks that were situated up there, holding the hotel's water supply. Some reports say that he went to check after hotel complaints. Others say that he noticed from another window that one of the lids to the water tank was wide open, and so he decided to go onto the roof to inspect the lid and close it. However, an article on Vice.com depicts exactly what happened when Santiago accessed the rooftop. It reads, Santiago Lopez wasn't expecting to find a dead body when he scaled the rooftop of the Cecil Hotel on February the 19th, 2013. A complaint about the water pressure prompted him to take the elevator to the 15th floor, where he hiked a set of stairs to the roof and then climbed a ladder to reach the 10-foot-tall water tank. He immediately noticed the hatch was open. Inside, Elisa Lam's corpse lay face up in the water. Lopez, a hotel maintenance employee, detailed this discovery in court documents filed last month by attorneys for the Cecil, a historic hotel in downtown Los Angeles. Tragically, Elisa was found inside one of the four 4x8 tanks that held 1,000 gallons of water each and stood around 10 foot tall. The tanks each stand on concrete platforms with no easy access to any of the four tanks, and staff having to use a ladder to look into the water. Elisa was found floating in the water. She was naked, and her clothes were floating around her inside the tank. The clothes were said to have been covered in a sand particulate. The autopsy results showed that Elisa had not suffered any trauma, although she had blood pooling at the location of her rectum. Some said this could suggest sexual assault, although others have suggested this could just be a result of being submerged in water for so long. There were also other tests. A toxicology report says, quote, toxicology studies did not show acute drug or alcohol intoxication, but her body was believed to have been in the water from the same day the elevator footage was captured. And I don't know personally if this would change the toxicology panel or any type of pathology test. But it should be mentioned that the official cause of death was, quote, a result of drowning, and it was described as accidental. But the strange footage of Elisa on the elevator, of her paranoid blog post about being followed, of her losing her phone the previous day, all of these led conspiracy theorists to look closer at how Elisa died. So what are the different theories? Well, there's theory one, and this would be Occam's razor. What is this? Well, Occam's razor is a principle from philosophy. Suppose there exist two explanations for an occurrence. In this case, the one that requires the smallest number of assumptions is usually correct. Another way of saying it is that the more assumptions you have to make, the more unlikely an explanation. So Occam's razor is simply the easiest explanation is probably the correct explanation. This would mean that Elisa found a way onto the rooftop of the hotel. She took her clothes off, entered the water tank. Perhaps she entered in a moment of mania or psychosis. Perhaps she had been drinking or hallucinating. Perhaps she entered with the intent of being able to get back out, but without being able to touch the floor of the 10-foot tank, and with her clothes weighing her down, maybe she removed them. Maybe she was unable to climb out. Perhaps this is where Elisa met her tragic and untimely fate. An article on thedailymail.com written by Jennifer Smith reads, "In a clip shared exclusively with dailymail.com, a retired LAPD homicide detective says most people don't know that there was an alert. The dog did go down a hallway and alert at a window, and that window leads directly out to the fire escape. Once outside, however, the dog lost the scent. There was at least an initial indication that she had gone down the hallway and went out of this window onto the fire escape," he added. Theorists explain that they didn't accept this explanation completely because of the lengths Elisa would have had to have gone through to access the roof. She would have had to have climbed up to the fire escape, of which their hotel had 3 in total, and to access the fire escape you'd have to climb out of a window or go through an alarmed door which was not activated around the time of her disappearance. People also mentioned how it might be difficult to climb 10 foot up to get on top of the tank platform, open an alleged 50-pound lid, strip naked, get into the tank while holding her clothes, close the lid after she got in. The tanks are too tall to stand in, so floating whilst resealing the heavy metal lid seems very unlikely. However, speculation has occurred whether the lids are in fact this heavy and if Santiago, the hotel staff member, really did find the tank lid open. If that is the case, then Elisa wouldn't have had to have struggled with the lid at all, as it was never closed. Another theory is foul play. Perhaps Elisa, a single woman wandering alone through the downtown streets of LA, was harmed and placed inside the tank by someone else, although the autopsy shows no physical signs of trauma. Another theory is linked closer with the occult and paranormal. This theory is linked with an urban legend, much like Bloody Mary, with the mirrors in a bathroom. The elevator game is a ritual that will bring you to another world. This game originated in Japan and South Korea. A website called hideandgokill.com described the whole game for us, and these are the rules. You will need at least one person, but can be played with more, a public building with at least 10 floors, and an elevator. To start the game, the player needs to enter the elevator. Press the 4th floor. Do not proceed if someone enters the elevator, or one of the players leaves the elevator. If someone does that, start from the beginning. Press the 2nd floor. And again, do not proceed if somebody enters the elevator. Press the 6th floor. Do not proceed if someone enters the elevator. Go back to the 2nd floor. Press the 10th floor. Press the 5th floor. If a woman enters the elevator at the 5th floor, do not look at her. Do not speak. And don't talk to her. This woman is not a human. If you do make contact, she will decide to keep you for her own. Press the 1st floor. Do not proceed if somebody enters the elevator. The elevator will either ascend or descend. If the elevator reaches the 1st floor, leave and do not look back. If the elevator reaches the 10th floor, leave and do not respond to the woman. If she asks where are you going or what's wrong, her voice will be high when she asks these questions. Again, do not proceed if someone enters the elevator. You are in another world. If you're alone, you are in the other world. Electronics will not work in the other world. The other world is identical to our world, but the two differences you will see are all the lights will be off, and the only thing you will be able to see from the windows is a red cross in the distance. Returning to our world. To get back to our world, you must go to the same elevator and press the same buttons, only if you leave the 10th floor, which is 4, 2, 6, 2, 10, 5. When you reach the fifth floor, press the button for the first floor. The elevator will again begin to ascend to the 10th floor. Press any floor's buttons to cancel the ascension. You must press the button you use to cancel the ascension before you reach the 10th floor. After you reach the first floor, check your surroundings carefully. If anything seems off, even the smallest detail, do not exit the elevator. If you detect something wrong, repeat step 2 until your surroundings look as they should. Once you are confident you have returned to your own world, you must safely exit the elevator. Other tips for number 1, the woman in the 5th floor. Do not look at her. Do not speak to her. Other tips for number 2, if someone enters or someone leaves, begin again at the 4th floor. If someone enters the elevator or someone leaves the elevator. Tips for number 3, I'm already there. Only people that leave at the 10th floor will go to the other world. Getting back to your world may be more difficult than it seems. You may become disorientated and forget which elevator in which you arrived. The elevator may seem to get further and further away from you as you walk towards it, and so on. Be vigilant and keep your wits about you. If at any point during the ritual you feel faint, pass out, or otherwise lose consciousness, you will likely wake up in your own home. However, be sure to carefully examine your surroundings upon waking. The home to which you have been returned may not be the one you left when you first set out to attempt this ritual. Tips number 4. You must not, in any case, attempt this too many times. This makes you susceptible to accidental slipping through the world. If you do not get out of the elevator on the 10th floor, or if the woman does not get in, you should head straight back down to the first floor. Sometimes when you're coming back, the elevator goes back up instead of down. You have to cancel the ascension by pressing any button between your current floor and the 10th and get off of the elevator. The other world is pulling you in. Others have suggested that the stay on Main is haunted and that the energy of the hotel is bad because of the tragic history of the building. In 1964, the Cecil Hotel became the location of an unsolved murder. Serial killer Richard Ramirez, responsible for at least 13 deaths, is alleged to have stayed at the Cecil Hotel from 1984 to 1985, and it's also been reported that Ramirez practiced satanic rituals. In 1991, Australian serial killer Jack Utterweger stayed at the hotel, and this is also the site that the Black Dahlia was supposedly last seen alive. There were also a number of suicide completions at the hotel, with one person jumping from a window and landing on a completely innocent citizen walking below the open window where the person had just jumped. Both died. Some suggest that dark spirits or the paranormal may have possessed, coerced, encouraged Elisa to access the water tank. Another strange thing is how closely Elisa's story links to two films, both called Dark Water. One was released in 2002, and it has a strange scene with an elevator where a woman is chased by the paranormal. She enters the elevator and pushes the buttons, but the elevator doesn't work, despite her manic attempts to get the elevator moving. The other Dark Water film was released in 2005. This film is about the death of a young girl named Natasha, who was drowned in an apartment's rooftop water tank. Prior to her demise, Natasha's parents had left her behind, each believing she was with the other. A few years later, Dahlia and her daughter Cecilia moved into the said apartment. Their new place, dilapidated, confined, and worn, seems to take on a life of its own, as what appears to be the spirit of Natasha begins to haunt them. Of course, this is strange because this is supposedly one of the last places the Black Dahlia was seen alive, and the hotel was formerly named the Cecil, noting here that the two main characters of this film are called Dahlia and Cecilia. Some people had linked Elisa's death as being similar to the homicide of Geetha Angara. Wikipedia says, on the afternoon of February 9th, 2009, the body of Geetha Angara, a chemist, was found in a water tank at the Passaic Valley Water Commission Treatment Facility in New Jersey. After the tanks had been drained, she had not been seen since the previous morning when she had gone to the water tanks to take samples. Items she had been carrying when she was last seen alive were also found. The items, a radio and a broken beaker, were found in the water. Below an access panel that was slightly ajar, Broken glass was found on the floor by this panel. An autopsy found bruises on Angara's neck consistent with choking, as well as on her waist and elbows, suggesting that she had been involved in a violent struggle, but not a deadly one. The cause of death was determined to be drowning, as she was alive when she had gone into the water. Investigators classified the case as a homicide, believing the killing had been intentional. They put Angara's death as having occurred the day before. And lastly, perhaps the strangest theory or coincidence was a government test on tuberculosis. The pathogen experiment was strangely called Lam Elisa, spelt exactly the same way as Elisa Lam. An article on a government website reads, "Background: the development and evaluation of rapid and accurate new diagnostic tools is essential to improve tuberculosis control in developing countries. In a previous study, the release of a urine, Lam Elisa, by Chemogen, has been evaluated with a promising sensitivity and specificity for the diagnosis of pulmonary tuberculosis. In the present study, the now commercially available assay has been clinically assessed regarding its diagnostic value alone and in combination with clinical cofactors. The test was applied to two urine samples from 291 consecutively enrolled Tanzanian patients with suspected pulmonary tuberculosis. The participants were subsequently assigned to classification groups according to microbiological, clinical, and radiological findings at recruitment and during a maximum follow-up period of 56 days. An article on the website themostcommonthemostdeadly.com explains why this is so strange to the Elisa Lam case, on top of the names being exactly the same. It reads, "The best way to incubate pathogens is providing the perfect environment, which would include water tanks that are not irradiated by the sunlight." Elisa Lam was missing for nearly 3 weeks, which are the perfect periods to incubate Myobacterium tuberculosis and transmit the disease through the water tank. An infection could cause bloated tummy and internal bleeding, which can be misunderstood as a sexual assault. Elisa Lam was seen in the YouTube video, which was released by the police department, and her strange behaviour was recorded by the hotel elevator camera. Patients with infectious diseases suffer from hallucination and delusion because pathogens destroy electrons, which are essentially for neurotransmitters. Those patients suffer from autoimmune diseases, including mental illness, in their later lives. Many patients who are infected with bacteria, fungi, or viruses are left without treatment because diagnosis is difficult when only a few assays are available under health insurance policies, while millions of species are estimated to exist. A zombie ant infected with a parasitic fungus bites the neck of one of its dead fellows, mistaking it for a leaf vein. Scientists discovered 4 new species of fungus that infect ants, take over their bodies, and eventually kill them in a place that is just right for the organism to grow inside of them. Audiences may have been misled by the people who believe that paranormal activities caused her death. We may have to consider the fact that the video and autopsy report, which was delayed many times, were not released immediately, and the video appears to be edited. The elevator door in her hotel may have been manipulated or operated by the person who opened the water tank, which was locked, to monitor her behaviour, or to record her behaviour by the camera, to make people believe that she will probably commit suicide, or will have died accidentally due to her mental illness. Was Elisa Lam infected by Myobacterium tuberculosis, which Lam Elisa target? Was Elisa Lam a victim of Lam Elisa experimentation to examine pathogenic behaviour in the human brain? Is Elisa Lam's death a result of bioterrorism? Schizophrenia, bipolar, or autism can be treated either by antifungal or antibacterial medicines, depending on the pathogens that infected the brain, or by hormones that are imbalanced by the infection. The infection is also treated by alkaline properties, such as minerals, in vegetables. When our DNA is mutated by parasitic infections, thinking processes and behaviour change due to the information processing errors. This happens when our body compositions or atoms begin to decay by the light scramblers or pathogens that cause depronotation. This error can be fixed by the powerful electron donor, sunlight, that inhibits the mutation and repairs the damaged DNAs by destroying the electron destroyers. Elisa's parents eventually filed a wrongful death suit against the hotel, which the judge threw out of court, and the proceedings never went anywhere. So Elisa's death and how it occurred, truly to this day, still remains a mystery, with many theories on what truly happened. But which theory do you believe? Perhaps you have one that I haven't mentioned. Before I finish, I just wanted to read you the opening quote from Chuck Palahniuk, found at the top of Elisa's blog. It reads, "You're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life." If you'd like, you can contact me on cultvaultpodcast@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter and Instagram at cultvaultpod. I'm your speaker, Casey, and this has been the Conspiracy Vault.